This is quietest I've ever been.
Yeah, I know.
The cafeteria at Kansas City's Alta Vista Charter High School is in a basement room filled with long, narrow tables. These days, the conversation around those tables revolves around one topic: college.
Oh, you are going to your roommate? You paid your housing? So you took the test and you already know who your roommate is?
No.
Brittany is one of the school's top seniors. She's applied to some of the nation's most prestigious colleges, and she's received financial aid offers that collectively have a value of more than $200,000. But she's had some challenges to overcome that might make this decision harder. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on KCUR's Central Standard, as thousands of high school seniors around the metro decide where to go to college, we hear one girl's story of what brought her to this point. Here's Brittany.
Right now, the decisions, a lot of students around the country are waiting for college decisions, especially like the most prestigious colleges. Just like, I feel like they like sit around in a table and plan it out. They're like, we're going to be the last ones to decide. So I'm still waiting for answers from Vanderbilt University, Yale University, Brown. And I already got into Rockhurst and got into College of St. Mary and University of Dayton in Ohio. So those are the three, like, definite ones that I can say are my options right now. But I'm not there.
Necesito una razón. Es difícil creer. We came from a small town called Pachuca, Hidalgo. Where I lived, it was like they call them cerros, and it's like kind of like hills, really mountain kind of range. My family was living in like a one room. It was one room, literally. We had the kitchen like on one wall. We had the TV and a couch on another wall. And we had our bed in the other corner and the door on the opposite side. Me, my mom, and my dad. My parents always try to provide for me. And, like, I remember them not eating meat. And, like, my dad would, like, only have money to buy, like, one steak, one, like, thigh of, like, chicken. And, like, they would literally just give it to me because they weren't going to let me starve.
Oh, it's time to go now.
I went to a school in Mexico where they were teaching you English. And so when I came, I was very ready to speak my English, but it wasn't anything like what the kids spoke. I came in and, like, I knew how to say, hey. I knew, like, how to ask to go to the bathroom. I knew how to ask for water. But it was very, like, it was a harsh accent that I had. You know, as a kid, you don't really think that they're going to judge you for your accent. And it was something that, like, I was judged for a while. There was kids who, like, could tell I was different. I'm not very, like, dark, but they could still tell I was Mexican, so they, like, would call me a wetback. They call me a wetback while I was doing, like, Pythagorean theorem, and they didn't know that, or they make fun of me for my accent. But when they heard, like, a song by Bach, they couldn't tell it was a song by Bach, but I could. Music, like, gets me started, gets me going. And the cello, like, I practice a lot because it's like a skill that, like, you need to constantly be practicing in order to build it up. Well, to be honest, being called undocumented, it's not very, like, insulting, but it is in the way that most people are saying it, because it's being used as an insult. It's being used vaguely.
That last one?
Yeah,
the new
one.
Yeah, so I joined Mind Drive. It's a non-profit organization for, like, at-risk students in the Kansas City metropolitan area. I've been going there for 3 years now. And almost every Saturday morning, when the counselor at Alta Vista told me about it, I was like, yeah, sure, like, I want to try it out. It's not something that girls do a lot. Girls don't really, like, work on cars.
This was like probably like crashed into and stuff, and we just got it out of a junkyard and we got paid to repair it and stuff. So I did all the welding in here.
Here in Missouri, tuition rates for me, for an undocumented student, are skyrocketing. So I know like Truman is $16,000 per year because my friend's going there. For me, I think it's like 40 something. You know, there's laws here that prohibit me from getting institutional aid as well. I actually like argued really like intensively with my mom once. It was about me applying to schools in, like, Massachusetts and, like, Texas, Nashville, that were, like, 8 hours away, 12 hours away. I guess it's hard for her to let me go to a place where she doesn't, like, know. But she knows it's, like, for my own good. She knows I'm gonna get, like, a good education, and I'm gonna make something of myself. Going back to when I was crossing with my mom, we crossed, and like I knew she had brought me here because she trusted that I would do my best with the experiences that I had here, with the opportunities that I had here. So I obviously couldn't let that go to waste.
KCUR's Kyle Palmer produced Brittany's story for Central Standard. And now we have Brittany in the studio with us. Welcome to the show, Brittany.
Thank you.
When you talked to Kyle, you had a tough decision to make about where to go to college next year. The flurry of letters from colleges with decisions regarding your acceptance hadn't really come in yet. Do you have updates for us?
Yes, I do. So unfortunately, I didn't get into Yale University.
Lots of people don't get into Yale. I want to assure you of that.
Yeah, I know. You know, and I've actually gotten rejected from a lot of universities. So, I mean, it's been hard, but I've come to a decision now. And
where are you going
to
go?
I'll be going to College of St. Mary in Omaha, Nebraska.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We've heard about how practical considerations affected your thought process early on, particularly your immigration status, which means you'd be paying international student tuition if you wanted to attend a Missouri university. Was it such a pressing concern that it overshadowed other concerns, or were there other really major factors in your decision-making process?
Well, I always wanted to go to a college or a university that would expand my knowledge and that would challenge me. So, you know, for me, settling for community college, which, you know, was very affordable for me, wasn't going to be an option. And so that along with the financial aid was definitely the two major things that I looked at when I was doing my college search. But of course, you know, if I wanted to go to a top tier school, it was going to be very expensive. And with my status, you know, it's not very doable sometimes.
Yeah. How does the financial aid piece of it work with your status?
Well, there's obviously, I'm pretty sure everyone knows, but there's in-state tuition, out-of-state tuition, and international state tuition. International student tuition. And
for international students is 3 times what a state local tuition is. And so, you know, I could be paying, if I were getting state tuition, I could be paying, I think, about $9,000 for UMKC. But I think if I were to choose to go there, it would be around like $36,000 in just living at home as well. So,
were you able to get financial aid for the college that you'll be attending?
Yes, I actually I was granted a special award. It's called the Misericordia Grant, and that covers tuition for up to 4 years. And I mean, it's an amazing opportunity, and nobody else has offered me anything like it. So
I have kind of an annoying question for you. What do you think you want to be after college?
Oh, wow.
I remember how annoying that question was.
Well,
forgive me.
No, it's fine. Well, I definitely want to grow as a person, because I know college is an amazing time to, you know, explore things. I'm going to a Catholic college, women's college, so definitely, like, I'm definitely going to explore my faith. But I think, moreover, like, I want to make sure that I go to college and, you know, study for the MCAT, because I want to go to medical school, make sure that I get prepared for that.
How do you think the college you've chosen is suited to set you on the path you want to be on to perhaps become a doctor?
Well, I know that I'm in contact with the human biology department, and so I know that they will definitely help me. But, you know, it's a small college, and they always try to seek, they will always help you if you seek the opportunities. So I know that if I want to take an internship, or, you know, I want to see if I can take, you know, more opportunities, they would be there for me.
Have you had adults who have been really active in helping you through the process of choosing which colleges to apply to and then finding out what each of them had to offer, your financial aid potential at all of these schools? Has there been someone really offering you that kind of guidance?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We have a senior seminar teacher at our school. His name is John Carney, and he's played a huge role in, you know, trying to help me get to where I'm at right now, where I'm going. And, you know, he's always been there, always, you know, supporting me through camps that I've gone to, and, you know, just like seeking opportunities for me, telling me about it. The college I'm going to has a 5-year PA program, and, you know, I might be doing that later on if that's what I choose. And he was actually the one who told me, but he's always been, you know, an active leader in my education, my college search, as well as, you know, other teachers at my high school.
Is there something that he told you or did for you that just you think has made all the difference, like a particular moment where you were like, man, thank you. I'm so glad I know this
now. I applied for the Questbridge National College Match Scholarship, and I had to send CSS profiles. I'm tearing up. I had to send CSS profiles and ACT scores to all the colleges. And it was about, I think, like almost $300 just sending like those reports. And, you know, I was like really stressed out because I had to write so many essays for all the colleges. And, you know, like at the moment, like my parents didn't have $300 to give up to just send those scores. And, you know, he told our principal, and, you know, he was like, you know, don't worry about it. We'll get it done. And, you know, the school obviously helped me pay, but he was, like, supporting me through all that.
Your advocate.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about citizenship? I mean, is U.S. citizenship something that you think about, something you hope you'll be able to pursue someday? Does that even feel like an option?
I hope that one day, you know, I would gain citizenship. But really, like, I've talked to my mom about this a lot of times, and, you know, when it comes to immigration, a lot of people, you know,
when it's like DACA programs, the DAPA program that got stopped by the Texas courts, I think that, you know, a lot of people think we're on a way to citizenship, and we're not. All we want to do is, you know, be able to work here and, you know, make our families here, because our families are already here. You know, if I were to go back to Mexico today, I would not know how to navigate it. And, you know, I just hope that citizenship is good, and, you know, it would be amazing to receive it, but I just hope that there would be some way where I could stay in the country and work.
So many stories we hear about the immigrant experience are stories about struggle, and here within your own lifetime, and you're still very young, you're looking at the most prestigious schools in the country and a really viable candidate for a lot of those schools. Do you feel like you defy stereotypes? I mean, is that do you have a relationship with stereotypes at all?
Yes. I think a lot of people at my high school kind of struggle with that. We all we're all stereotyped to be, you know, just going to, how can I say it? it's mostly like, you know, we get pregnant at young age or end up not going to college. We end up working for our dad's construction or, you know, cleaning hotels. So, I mean, definitely.
How do people communicate that that's their expectation?
You know, I think it's just, I used to go to a high school where, you know, it was not very diverse. And so, you know, like when you see that your mom is the one cleaning the toilets or, you know, cleaning the hotels, and like, you know, your friends' moms are the ones going to the spas. It's like, it's strange. And, you know, like, I had a friend who, like, whose mom would, like, look at my mom wrong, and it was like, I just know.
It's subtle, but you know it.
And so, I mean, like, those are the stereotypes that are given to us, but, you know, I think a lot of kids in my high school aren't those stereotypes at all. Many of us are going to college, and many of us are going to college for free, and, like, you can't beat that.
Are your parents coming around to the idea that you might, you're going to be going to school kind of far from home?
About 3 hours away, yeah. Yeah, they're okay with it. We spoke about it. You know, they like the fact that it's a women's college and that it is a Catholic college. So, I mean, I think that kind of helped out. But they know it's for the best and it's for my education.
Are you at all nervous about your first year at college? Because that's an unknown place to you, too, not just to your parents.
Well, I took college classes before, so, like, I'm not too worried about the academic aspect. But, I don't know, I'm kind of worried about, like, meeting people and also, like, not having people come back. Coming back home.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll do great. Brittany is a senior at Alta Vista here in Kansas City. She came to the United States from Mexico with her parents as a child. I'm Gina Kaufman, and when KCUR's Central Standard returns, we'll hear why some local students are considering historically Black colleges. That's coming right up. Stay tuned. Yes,